But then I'm going to go to Philippians, and Riley, you don't have to follow me with this, and then I'm going to go to Luke. When you get to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, say amen.
Amen.
For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. The main message in that passage right there is the word servants. Let's pray. God, we love you. God, we come to you in Jesus' name, Lord, as humbly as we know how, God. And God, we realize, dear Lord, that I'm like Preacher Buddy said, God, I'm not going to say I'm doing my best, God, because that would be a lie. God, we could all do better. God, I pray, God, your hand to be upon us right now for just a little bit. God, you help us, God, to take something out of your word right now, Lord, and we'll praise you for all you do, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When Jesus taught his disciples, and Jesus taught in the synagogues, he's taught as one having authority. We know that from studying. And anytime I preach something like this, I always go back to the Easter play. And when Jesus taught, he taught as one with authority, but he taught as a servant. Now, it's abundantly clear in the Bible that Jesus wants us to be servants. Amen. Now, in the Old Testament, there were two types of servants. Number one, there was the hired servant. That means they would receive a wage, or they had rights. They could appeal to their owner. But then you had what was called a bond servant. And David kind of went in a little bit about that this morning in Sunday school. Sometimes you would be in a debt, and you would to pay your debt, you would be in bondage to the person. But that bond servant was basically a slave. Don't misunderstand me. A bond servant was a slave. They had no rights. They received no wages. So the New Testament word for servant is not the hired servant. When Paul uses the word servant, Paul is using that word as a bond servant, a slave. Our position is one of absolute property to Jesus Christ. Understand that. The word servant right there, it comes from the Greek word doulos. It means a slave or a bond servant. So we have no rights when it comes to what the Lord Jesus Christ tells us to do. Hello, people. Well, I just don't think I want to do that. Well, la-di-da, it ain't your call. We're bond servants. We're slaves to Jesus Christ. So when we see the humility that Jesus had as being a servant without any rights, and he came on this earth as a servant to man. He came on this earth as a servant to God. Whatever the Father told him, he did. He didn't question that. And the reason that he did that was so that he could win you and I back to God. Philippians chapter 2 says this, verse 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. That word servant there is the bond servant that we're talking about. And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The position we take with Jesus is in direct relation to the position I take with Dallas. In other words, if I'm going to be a servant to Jesus, I need to be a servant to Dallas. All right, take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 17. And this is where I actually be preaching from, Luke chapter 17. When you get there, say amen real loud.
Amen.
If you ain't there, say hold on, preacher. Luke 17. Let's start reading in verse 7. But which of you, having a servant, bond servant, okay, remember now that when I say servant, I'm talking about bond servant, slave. Which of you, having a servant, plowing plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things which were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now, let me just break this down for you. What he's saying is, how many of you that would have a servant or a slave plowing in a field? All right, let's take our minds and you know, slavery was an awful time in American history. Amen. Slavery was an awful time in American history. But there have been slaves throughout all eternity. But I want you to just kind of get a picture in your mind of you being the master and having a slave in the field. And that slave's been out there working all day long. And that slave comes into the house and he basically says, which would you will say by and by? All right, you know, I'm the master. David's the slave. And David comes in from the field. He's working on. And I come up to him and say, David, I want you to just go take you a break. Go sit down and get you something to eat and rest. That's what he's saying. Then he says, no, that ain't how you do it. He said, what you do is, you've been plowing all day. You still got work to do. You go sit down and make me something to eat. And when I get all I want, and when I do all I want, and when I'm at ease, then you go. That's basically what that is saying right there. Now I want to look at 5 points of being a bondservant. And this is where it's going to get tough. How many, y'all have heard me say it all? My whole time, 23 years, it ain't about you. It's all about him, amen? Number one, a bondservant must be willing to have one thing piled on top of him and another piled on top of him without complaining. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drank, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Oh, you plow, and then you feed, and then you go sit down for supper, and now I know you plow, you do your job in the field, you do what you're supposed to do there, and then when you've done what you're supposed to do in the field, then you come on in the house, and I got something else for you to do. When you finish that, then I got something else for you to do. Ain't that how the Lord does us sometimes, you know, every once in a while, you know, we think that, hey, we think that just because we come to church on Sunday, everything's all right. I've done my duty. No, that ain't your duty. This here's the fun part of being saved. Amen. Teaching Sunday school is not a duty for David. Preaching from this pulpit is not a duty for me. This is the fun part of being a pastor. The tough part's out yonder. See, the thing about it is, when God tells you to go witness to somebody, he didn't tell you to go home and get you some supper. He didn't. I'm reminded of a story. A good friend of mine, Preacher Ricky Evans, some of y'all remember him, he said that God laid it on his heart, Brother Tony, to go and visit a lady in the nursing home. He said, and I was busy, and I was, you know, had a lot of things going on. And he said, Lord, I'll go. And the next day, God laid it on his heart to go visit that lady in the nursing home. And he said, you know, I'll go, Lord, I promise you I'll go. And then the next day, same thing. Just this and this and this comes up. Well, the lady died. And Preacher Ricky said, as far as I know, Chucky, she was not saved. Sometimes we feel like it's just being piled on. I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. Well, a bondservant, a slave, don't get to judge. Don't get to say it. Don't have no say-so in the matter. You just do what you're supposed to do. Number two, they must be willing not to be thanked for their service. Hello. It's amazing to me, some people in church, you can't get them to do nothing unless you're patting them on the back. Amen. Luke chapter 17, verse 9, and notice what I said. Does he thank the servant because he did the things which were commanded him? I throw not. That word I throw not basically means I thank not. If you're a slave, you don't get no thanks. I don't never, and I've watched a lot of movies about slavery in American history, and I don't never remember any of the slaves coming in from the field and the master standing by. I sure appreciate what you did today. You sure did a good job. I appreciate what you did today. No, it don't work that way. Slaves don't get no thank you. Now we all know, well, everybody wants a pat on the back. Everybody wants a pat on the back. When you do a good job, I think we ought to. But let me go ahead and tell you something. Some of us have that mindset, well, the Lord hadn't thanked me for coming to church today. The Lord hadn't thanked me for witnessing to that person down there. Guess what? He ain't. That's your job. So if you're going to be a bondservant, you got to be willing to do the job and not get the pat on the back. Amen. Number three, even though your master may not agree, or even though you may not agree with your master, you keep your mouth closed and do the work. So likewise, verse 10, so likewise, ye, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, we've done all those things that was commanded us. Some of the work may not be glorious. Amen. Let me go ahead and tell y'all something. I know last week we honored our deacons, and praise God. And I thank God for our deacons, and thank God for Brother Tony and Brother David. And they've done a great job, and it's time for a rest. It's time for, they might come back on the deacon board again down the road. But understand something. There have been times that our deacons have been out here at this church cleaning commodes and working in the sewer out there that most of us don't even know about. Understand, sometimes the job is not glorious, but you do the job because that's your job. Amen. It's good when we come out and the band sings and the musicians, and I mean it all sounds good. It's good when all that happens. It's good when we come out and we'll just use the Easter play. It's good when we come out and everybody shows up and the Easter play goes off without a hitch on Friday night. And we have great services on Saturday night. We have great services Sunday night. We have great services. People are saved and people are happy and we're shouting and having a great time. But then the next week when we call for somebody to come out and help tear down the stuff, God gets glory in that too, just like he did when we did put it on. Because it's a job that's got to be done. So we don't complain. We do the work. Amen. Now number four. When you've done all that was given to you to do, when you've done it all, when you, and I'm going to pick on you too, you sitting up here in front. When you've done it all, when you served 15, 20 years on a deacon board, when you've been there and you had your hands dirty and you up late at night and you've done all you can do, you still realize you're just an unprofitable servant. Ain't that what it says? Go back, let's read it. Go back and let's read it now. Luke 17, verse 10. So likewise ye, when you have done all those things that are commanded you, you say, we are unprofitable servants. I realize who I am. I realize what I am. I realize where he brought me from. My Lord, I ought to be happy. I ought to be happy digging in the sewer at the church because I know where God brought me from. Amen. He didn't have to save me. I ought to be in hell today. He didn't have to write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I ought to be in hell today. I ought to be happy to pick up trash in the churchyard. I ought to be happy just to come out and vacuum the floors of God's house. I ought to be happy just doing the menial things that the Lord has given us to do. But I'm just telling you, folks, I'm still an unprofitable servant. The very best I can do is as filthy rags. Amen. Having done all you do, you still know that was your duty. Verse 10, so likewise, when you shall say, have done all those things which are commanded you, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. I'm going to pick on these two guys sitting up front again. They did the job that they were called to do. They stood in, spent the long hours, protected their pastor, protected this church. They did the job. They did their duty. Let me ask you a question, folks. Have you done your duty as a Christian? Have you done all you're supposed to do? I don't know. I said in my prayer, I remember Preacher Buddy standing here in this pulpit, and y'all remember Preacher Buddy standing in this pulpit and Preacher Buddy saying something to the effect, I'm going to quit saying I've done all I could do. I'm going to quit saying that because I ain't. I'm going to quit saying I've done my best because I didn't. I remember I preached one time. Somebody gave me a thought one time, and I preached it years ago. It might be time for me to go back and try to preach it again. It's a sin to be good when God said be great. You hear me? It's a sin to be average when God said be above average. It's a sin not to do your duty when God said that's the least you can do. Amen. I want you to bow your heads.